It's time now for America in the Balance. Brought to you by Oklahomans for Sovereignty and Free Enterprise. And now your co-hosts, Amanda Teagarden and Don Wyatt.
Welcome, freedom-loving Oklahomans, to another hour of America in the Balance on Truth and Focus Internet Radio. Today we're playing musical chairs with the various roles of the program, and I'll be serving in studio as your host. I'm Don Wyatt, your normal co-host. And today we're going to be joined by Amanda Teagarden, that's your normal host, by phone from Salt Lake City. Hello, Amanda.
Hello, Don. It's nice to be called normal. Good to hear from you.
I love that. Yeah, I should have clarified what I meant by that, shouldn't I?
I'm the regular host, and you're the co-host, but it's good to hear from you.
There you go. Thank you. Welcome. In our second segment, we're going to be joined in studio by Rhonda Villamont-Smith, the founder and president of Tulsa 912 Project, my fearless leader and co-warrior on a number of projects. Rhonda, nice to have you with us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Don.
Amanda and I are both with OK Safe. We're broadcasting from Oklahoma, where it's still very, very hot. I won't do one of those stand-up jokes about how hot is it, but it is hot. I'd like to direct your attention to our website at OKSafe.com. That's OK-SAFE.com. And to our blog site at OKSafe.wordpress.com. Lots of really good information there, some action items, such as opposing the development of health insurance exchanges and urging everybody to call your state's governor about his or her participation in the U.S.-China Governors Forum in Salt Lake City, Utah, this past week. Our governor, Mary Fallon, attended this meeting, and we're asking folks to call her and ask just what, if any, are your intentions regarding Chinese involvement in Oklahoma. Governor Fallon's toll-free number is 1-800-865-5853. Once again, that's 1-800-865-5853. I wanted to tell you a little personal anecdote. This last week, Don Little, who's the Tulsa County State GOP committee man, he and I were at the Capitol in Oklahoma City. We went to Governor Fallon's office. We each wrote a lengthy, personal, handwritten note urging her to reconsider attending the Governor's Forum, to consider canceling her membership in the organization, saving our state $176,000 a year in dues, as Governor John Kasich in Ohio just did, or to at least boycott the meeting with the Chinese communist leaders. Don Little and I each received identical letters from Governor Fallon's office, which I'd like to share with you. I just think you'll find this enlightening and maybe even funny. It says, "Dear Mr. Wyatt," this is on official letterhead from the State of Oklahoma Office of the Governor. "Dear Mr. Wyatt, thank you for your recent email to Governor Mary Fallon concerning the U.S.-China Forum." By the way, it wasn't an email. I'll interrupt myself. But thank you for all of those of you who did send emails. You apparently sent enough that they formed an actual repetitive form letter to send out to everybody saying, thank you for your recent email. It goes on to say, concerning the U.S.-China Forum being held at the National Governors Association, NGA, annual meeting in Salt Lake City, Utah. The governor is appreciative of your willingness to share your thoughts and has asked me to respond. This is over Kylie McEwen's name and signature. Says, currently Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Ponca City, and Shawnee each have a sister relationship with a city in China. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't know about this. This was enlightening and infuriating both. Goes on to say, and the state of Oklahoma has a sister relationship with the Gansu province. Participation at the International Sister Cities Program is important for Oklahoma communities to establish meaningful global contact where we can learn to solve problems through cultural exchanges. A delegation of Chinese governors was invited to participate in a one-hour forum, and there they're trying to minimize how much the impact of this thing would be, I think, where it emphasizes that it's just 1 hour. forum with the National Governors Association in conjunction with their annual meeting to build on these already established exchanges and discuss the economic development challenges of today. Thank you for taking the time to share your concerns. Now, this letter accomplished two or three things. One is, it convinced me that two elected Republican officials visiting her office in person and writing handwritten notes merited no more than a form letter because they're identical, and we're going to post both of these form letters after scanning them on our Boondoggle blog. I'll come back to that in just a split second. Secondly, it helped me understand that this process of buddying up with and sleeping with the communist Chinese has gone much further than I was already aware. And thirdly, it was a little bit, kind of demeaning, don't you think, that she would use the word exchange repeatedly in this paragraph after we just fought such a battle with her over insurance exchanges. So I thought I'd share that interesting letter with you. And I wanted to mention now a Boondoggle blog. Encourage everybody to take a look at that. We're using that as our as our armor to try to explain what's going on in projects that we're involved with at Tulsa 912 and others. Now I'd like to turn to Amanda Teagarden by phone in Salt Lake City to tell us about the U.S.-China Governors Forum this week. Welcome, Amanda, and tell me what you think about that letter the governor's office sent me.
Well, Don, coincidentally, that's the same email response I got from the governor's office when I sent my email request. Only it took almost 3 weeks to get that answer. I emailed a question to the governor asking about this participation and what her intentions were on June 17th, and I got my response on June 12th or 13th. So it took quite a while to get it, the same answer that you did. And as you said, I'm currently in the Little America Hotel. I'm in one of the hallways here, so I'm sorry if you hear some background noise. At the Little America Hotel, which was the site of the second of the two conferences taking place simultaneously. They're across the street from each other. The National Governors Association meeting took place across the street at the Grand America Hotel. I'm at the Little America Hotel, and they happen to be related companies. This conference was the U.S.-China 2011 U.S. and China Trade, Culture, and Education Conference. And it coincided with the date of the governor's conference. It was sponsored by the American and Chinese Friendship Promotion Society, and the executive director of that effort organization is called Ron Hansen. Now, Ron Hansen is a really interesting guy. He's a tall, gray-haired gentleman and American, who can swing from English to Mandarin Chinese as though they are the same language. Saturday night, we were at an event, and I asked him how he learned Mandarin Chinese to speak it so well. He learned it as a young man on a mission trip to Taiwan when he was serving with the Mormon Church on his two-year mission trip. He went to Taiwan, and he later also worked on mainland China. He, in 1981, along with some other people, started the American and Chinese Friendship Promotion Society. So this thing's been going since 1981, and he started it as a result of his LDS, Church of the Latter-day Saints, mission trip to China. And, in fact, this whole organization appears to be made up of people who are members of the LDS Church. It's kind of interesting because I think several of the companies that are sponsors of this conference also are members of the LDS Church, but I'm just saying that as a point of interest. And the opening plenary session was really interesting. That was on Thursday, July 14th. The day prior to that, while people were traveling here, there were actually official business was being conducted where Governor Gary Herbert signed a memorandum of understanding with a party secretary from a province in China, which I won't try to pronounce, but it was a trade agreement, and that made the front page. There's a photograph, full color, of the signing of that event on the China Daily newspaper, which was all over the place here. The Chinese press was in for full force and available at the conference. It was a very high power, high level conference. And I will tell you that on the 14th, in the opening session was at 10 o'clock in the morning, Governor Gary Herbert was the keynote speaker. He followed a man named Lou Kramer, who works for the Utah World Trade Center. Did you know that Utah had a World Trade Center?
Why aren't I surprised for some reason?
I didn't know that Utah had a World Trade Center. So well, they were
as extensive as their LDS mission programs is, I suppose it's probably not too surprising the more I think about it.
It is it was an eye-opener, but Utah is open for business for this particular country. And I'll tell you that Governor Herbert's opening speech, well, let me back up. Lou Kramer, who's part of that World Trade Center of Utah, led the opening and spoke for about 5 or 10 minutes. And he started out saying that July 14th, 2011 is a historic, unprecedented day, a day of such historic proportions that you will tell your children and your grandchildren that you were there on that day. That's a pretty serious statement.
I agree.
We all have to mark our calendars July 14th, 2011, because in the eyes of these people, that was this is an historic, unprecedented occurrence. And in the audience were people from different provinces of China, including provincial leaders and governors from China. Governor Herbert is characterized as a visionary for Utah, and that he and this American and Chinese Friendship Promotion Society, Ron Hansen, were the two visionaries for this event and made it happen. So Governor Herbert was characterized as the connector in chief, and he himself had just finished a trade mission, to China in April, where he again signed agreements, memorandums of understanding for trade and between universities to pair up Utah businesses with those in China. So this is a very serious effort on the part of the Utah government, Utah businesses, and Utah universities to make these relationships, and as they kept calling it, unprecedented partnerships between Utah and China. Following Governor Herbert were four provincial leaders, either governors or party secretaries, whose presentations were all in China. And I will tell you that when Governor Herbert was done speaking, political leaders were introduced by Ron Hansen in Mandarin Chinese. Now, you know, I don't speak Mandarin Chinese. By the way, there were 700 people picked up name tags for this event. So this is not a small event. And again, this is just what was taking place at the Little America. Across the street at the Grand America Hotel was heavy security, police officers in the hallways, this suited gentleman with the little earwigs, which I'm taking to be took to be Secret Service. You could not get to where the governors were speaking. So it was pretty evident that security was of paramount importance and was present. They even had two fire department personnel on Segways driving around the hallways, around the ballrooms at the back of the building. So back to the Little America Hotel, the keynote speakers following Governor Herbert were these four provincial leaders. In their biographies, I was taking pictures and walking around. I couldn't understand what they were saying because it was in Chinese. You could get a headset where a translation would be available in your ear, but I found that a little distracting. So the first one was the governor of Qinghai Province in China, and his bio says that he has served in several PRC, that's People's Republic of China, government positions throughout China over the past 30 years, and including the Foreign Trade and Economic Commission and as party secretary positions. And he has a PhD in economics King High and Utah had a sister province or state relationship, which you mentioned. You didn't know that there were several sister cities with China in Oklahoma. By the way, Oklahoma's sister province is Gansu Province, which I didn't happen to see at this conference. The next one was a party secretary of the Zhejiang Province, and it says that Secretary Zhao Hongzhu has a distinguished career of 40 years. He has served in a variety of positions, to include being a standing committee member of the 15th and 16th Communist Party of China's Central Commission for Discipline Inspection. Now, I don't know about you, but I wonder what discipline inspection is in the Communist Party.
Doesn't sound like a good thing, does it?
Stand up straight, maybe? Secretary Zhao. Secretary Zhao was previously the director of the political department of the General Logistics Department of the PLA. The PLA is the People's Liberation Army. He holds a bachelor's degree from the Party School of the Central Committee of the CPC. So that's no slouch. The next one is the governor of the Anhui province, and his name was Wang Sanyang. And let me back up. Party Secretary Zhao had a PowerPoint presentation, a lot of very beautiful pictures of his province. Wang Sanyang, the third governor, is the governor of the Anhui province, and he served in the People's Republic of China government positions in the provinces of Guizhou, Sichuan, Fujian, and Anhui.
Wow.
He was an alternate member of the 16th and 17th CPC Central Committee. Governor Wang also currently serves as the vice secretary of the CPC Anhui Provincial Committee and secretary of the governor's leading party member group. He has a master's degree from the Party School of the Central Committee of the CPC. So, the party being the Communist Party.
Sounds like PRC stands for People Relocated in China. It sounds like they move these guys around a lot over there, doesn't it?
Well, this particular governor is experienced in a lot of provinces.
Right.
The last one is kind of interesting because when he got up to speak, Chinese photographers and the videographers were snapping pictures in a more serious manner. I mean, he was a very popular person by the media. The Chinese media, by the way, at the back of the ballroom were the tripods with the big cameras. So the media was allowed here, but I will tell you that I understand that one media, American media, was prevented from participating in going into the Governor's Association meeting. So not everybody was allowed in, but select media was. Now, back to this one. This last governor, where the photographers were very busy, was the governor, King Guangrong, the governor of the Yunnan province. Get this, Don. This is his bio. This governor began his political career as a member of the Communist Youth League in Hunan province in 1975.
That sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah. Since that time, he has held several People's Republic of China government positions in Hunan and Yunnan provinces. This governor is a member of the Central Committee of the CPC. He has a master's degree in engineering from Zhongyang Industry University and also studied at the Party School of the Central Committee of the CPC. So I'm sitting in the audience, and I'm reading this bio. I see that this man was a member of the Communist Youth League. I'm kind of astounded that nobody else is kind of looking up and saying, did you see this?
Right.
I mean, this is clearly, the average American would be pointing this out, that what are we doing here? Clearly, these people are not hiding that they're communist. And here they are in Salt Lake City, Utah, being courted, and relationships being developed, unprecedented relationships and partnerships being developed with people who are clearly from the Communist Party of China. So something has dramatically changed, and I think maybe it's just the American public's mindset about communism.
Yeah, we're not
where these people are.
We're not in Kansas anymore, are we? Wow.
We're not in Kansas anymore, and I will tell you, at the end of the day, I went for 2 days of these activities. The following day was Friday, and we went to, it was a 12-hour round-trip bus ride to Logan, Utah, where the university, Utah State University is. And a beautiful campus, but that's a whole other mindset when you're talking to university types. And again, it was a pairing up of Chinese officials and Chinese businessmen and Chinese university with the University of Utah State University for different endeavors that have to do with energy, biotechnology, natural resource development, engineering, etc. So this is like a big love fest, a big dating service. They were encouraged to talk to each other, talk to an American, talk to a Chinese, exchange business cards, develop a friendship, and begin to work together. So that's what this conference was about.
That's really.
I will tell you that. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that's really almost amazing to realize. We got about five more minutes in this segment. I want to make sure we don't cut you off, but that really is almost overwhelming, isn't it?
It is overwhelming, and you really. I had to go for a walk. Excuse me, outside a couple of times to just mull over what I had just heard and the PowerPoints that I had just seen and really clear my head and say, okay, what did I just witness? And because the attitude of the people who are proposing this is all positive, and these are called opportunities and the way forward, and it's all good. At the end of the day, I think what it is the United States, and Utah in particular, is trying to position themselves in what they call the global marketplace. And I think it is very concerning that there are no concerns on their part that are being demonstrated or at least expressed about any concerns about dealing with China.
I couldn't agree more.
It's almost like there's a race going on to beat getting these relationships with China before another country does, and I don't know that. And I'll tell you one more thing, is that while we were at USU, the governors had taken buses to the Utah University, and that's where the American press representative of an independent news agency was told, rebuffed. He was not able to participate in that. So while we were at the Utah State University, the governors were at the University of Utah, and there's an organization or a college there that's promoting. It's called U-STAR. It's kind of like our OSU-UML, U-STAR, U-S-T-A-R, all caps, if you look that up. Mm-hmm. And that's about innovation in technology. And those the governors were there building that partnership. So the concern here is I never saw Governor Fallon, which unfortunately, due to security, I was not able to get very many. Oh, I did see Haley Barbour.
Oh, okay.
I got a picture of him.
Good.
But the governors were pretty well sequestered.
Hey, can I ask a couple of questions?
You bet, Rhonda.
Amanda, did you have any one-on-one interaction with anyone there?
Just Americans, and it was with the sponsors, the American and Chinese Friendship Promotion Society. I will tell you that without fail, without exception, everybody's very polite. That includes the Chinese. Everybody is very courteous, very polite, very professional, has smiles on their faces. So those are the ones I had interactions with.
Were most of the Chinese there accompanied by translators, or were most of them already fluent in English, or do you know?
Most of them were not fluent in English, and there was a translation service that was available. You could get this earpiece. It would fit in your ear, and you would listen. At the back of the room behind the booth was two people, one translating from English to Chinese and the other one translating Chinese to English. So you could pick one up so you could hear, because some of the presentations were in English and some were in Chinese. The vast majority were in Chinese.
On the good news, having been to both Logan and to the University of Utah, I think you got the prettier trip. I love coming over those hills and looking down at Utah State University. That's really quite a view, isn't it?
It was a beautiful view, and I miss the mountains. Living in Oklahoma, you don't see that. And I will tell you that the Chinese, I was on one of two tour buses, and the Chinese that I was on the bus with were also very interested in that trip because they were taking pictures of people's houses.
And the farms. We got about one more minute left to go. Did you have another question, Rhonda? I didn't mean to cut you off.
The only other question I had for you, Amanda, is how did you explain your role there? Did anyone ask you? Why?
It was kind of interesting because they have to have lunch. The first day, I explained, you know, who I was. You have name tags. I don't have a business on it. And I was, you know, truthfully, the executive director of a nonprofit organization in Oklahoma that educates, advocates, and lobbies on policy. And it was kind of interesting because I was at the table with six people, and one of the gentlemen said, you're from Oklahoma. I said, there's a lot of pushback from Oklahoma that they'd heard about. I said, really? I said, yes, there is. And this conference was really talked about. Thousands of people knew about it in Utah. And he asked me if I'd written any articles on it. Now, I think that was kind of funny that that the only time I was actually quizzed on who I was at the university when one of the professors came up after they noticed that I was taking really good notes and taking pictures of the PowerPoint. Now, who are you with and who are you?
Good for you.
That one got a little uncomfortable.
Good for you.
You know.
Amanda, thank you for going, and we will continue in the next segment with Rhonda. But Amanda, thank you. Have a safe trip back, and thank you for giving us a report right here live on America in the Balance.
Bye, Amanda.
Well, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Do you need to promote your business on the internet? The Truth in Focus Radio Network reaches listeners locally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and all across the United States. The shift is on from traditional media to internet marketing. Stay on the cutting edge with your business. Advertise with us today. Email radio at truthinfocus.org. You heard the word, so will they. Email us at radio at truthinfocus.org.
Canyon State Wireless is your hands-on source for design, sales, service, and installation of the best land mobile two-way radio systems. Check us out on the web at canyonstatewireless.com or call us for specific information at 866-458-4772, 866-458-4772. Canyon State Wireless. When you're serious about communication.
Rock around the clock.
And welcome back to America in the Balance. I don't know about you, but I enjoyed that music. I consider Billy Joel to be the first rapper. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I enjoy that because it compresses nearly a century of American and world history into a couple of minutes of a song. I'm delighted to have in studio with me now my fearless leader and often described by people in Oklahoma as one of the most effective and powerful activist leaders in the entire state, Rhonda Villamont Smith. Rhonda, welcome.
Thank you, Don. I appreciate it.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the changes and formalizations that are underway with Tulsa 912 Project.
Tulsa 912 started back in March of 99, and we were a very loose-knit organization. We had a great leadership team, including you on it. And as time has gone on, we've grown, and we are expanding, and our outreach has gone a little bit further than it originally started. And so it's necessary to kind of formalize everything. And we had G, who is our treasurer, look into it and determine which was the best format for us to go with, and we decided on becoming a C4 organization.
Yeah, that involves actually forming a corporation in the state of Oklahoma and then defining that corporation for IRS tax purposes as a 501c4, correct?
Did you say that bad word, IRS?
Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's, I don't like that.
Well, we got 16,000 more of them now.
That's right. Yeah, no kidding. Nobody else is working, but they are. And so what we did was we had to, of course, set up our officers formally and then set up a board of directors. And so now I can't just haphazardly do things, and you guys go, okay, it's...
Well, you still haphazardly do things, but...
I know. Hey, I've got this brilliant idea. You've got to hear it. So we set up our officers, and we've got some phenomenal people that have been deeply involved in our organization and in helping. And, you know, leadership is only as good as its team.
That's right.
And it has nothing necessarily to do with the leader, but the people that you're able to bring in and work and make things happen that can grasp the vision that you have and be able to help carry that vision forth.
That's right. Heisman and, Trophy winners usually play on a winning team, don't
that's
they?
That's right. That's right. Well, I was just picturing me in the stance.
Have you practiced that? Rehearsed that?
No, but I'm going to have to work on it now.
This needs to be TV.
I know. But, of course, so we had to set up our officers. And our officers, of course, I got to become president. And then you have Don Wyatt, our vice president. We've got Elaine Leon as our secretary. And G. Ray is our treasurer.
We are a very effective team, have worked very well together for quite some time, and I expect us to work together quite well for many years to come.
We have regular meetings that were staff meetings, we called them, and we've been able to get a lot done in 2.5 years. We are a very effective organization, and I'm very proud of what we've become in the direction that we've gone and in the changes that we've been able to see occur that we've been able to help happen.
It might have been a trick of my imagination, but I almost think I remember hearing you say that we were founded in 1999, and if you said that, you
did.
Really meant 2009.
I did. You're right. You're right. 1999 is when I moved to Tulsa. So,
well, you started then.
That's right. Yeah. My bad. Like my kids would say, my bad. And then, of course, we had to set up our board of directors. I'm going to get back on track here real quick. And our board of directors include Peggy Burgess, Sandy Garrett, Randy Harris, Naomi Cohen, Ron Cross, Donna Beekman, Janine Wooster, Lori Sheridan, and Don Little. And we believe that and agree that if you serve on as a board member, then you need to be part of a committee. And even if you're a member of the organization, you need to find at least one committee that you need to be a part of. And One of the newest committees that we've got, of course, is our Tulsa Taxes Task Force. And I'm going to let you talk about that because you are the chairman of that committee.
Well, I'm happy to do that. The Tulsa Taxes Task Force, which must be said very slowly and carefully, I've learned
exactly.
from bad experience. Our goal is to begin focusing far more intensely on our local situation. We've worked on national issues and went to Washington, D.C., and we paraded and we protested, and we did that during our first year. During our second year, we spent much of the year down at Oklahoma City talking to legislators and spending a lot of time at the Capitol on statewide issues. And then it began to dawn on us that, wow, we better pay attention to what's going on right here in our own backyard. And lo and behold, when we started to look at it, we've concluded that there are probably in the vicinity of $175 to $200 million more in property taxes being charged to the taxpayers here in Tulsa County than is really warranted or justified by the organizations that we're funding. And so we began to realize that it would take a monster event for us to achieve that big a benefit for our local county on any national or even a state level issue. So this is where the payback is. And more to the point, this is where we begin taking back our country. And so we've focused very intently on the Tulsa County government. We bit that piece off first because it's a little bit smaller than the city of Tulsa by a factor of 10 to 1 in terms of dollars anyway. And we've already identified some pretty serious mishandling, we believe, from a statutory point of view, mishandling of the state budgets when they were being renewed this year. And so I was privileged to be, I think, the first person in the history of the state of Oklahoma to file a formal protest against four budgets that had been submitted this year. And there are statutory provisions governing the ability for taxpayers to file these protests. I have filed them, and it will be really interesting to see what happens next. There's a good possibility that these budgets will be rejected and that the excise board will be essentially forced to take a more serious oversight function regarding the budgetary process in Tulsa County.
Or so, they could be ignored.
Or they could be ignored, in which case this entire process might be kicked over into the tax court, which would have a separate kind of a jurisdiction. There's some court cases that we've located, a lot of legislation that we've dug up. It'll be really interesting to see how this is processed. But the long and the short of it is, when the county is already sitting on huge hidden caches of dollars and yet still comes back demanding increasing budget allocations from we, the taxpayer, who are facing job loss, job uncertainty, foreclosures on homes. Even though our economy here in Oklahoma is better than the national average, it's still not good times. And so we think that this is only fair, and certainly what our founders of the country and founders of the state of Oklahoma intended when this legislation was set up. So that's the Tulsa Taxes Task Force. We've got a team of approximately 15 of us that just love to walk in mass with our matching badges to county meetings and let them know we're watching. And we've posted on Boondoggle Blog some of the assessment and analysis of those meetings and the entire audio of those meetings. So that's what we're doing there.
You know, that's boondoggleblog.com if you'd like to go and check it out and see what's been written and the different articles that are out there. And if you're not from Tulsa or you're from a different area and you're interested in getting involved in checking these things out with your own local government, the information's out there on the internet. The internet is such a friend of ours, the friend of the activist movement now, because they can't make us feel silly or stupid. The information's there for us to be able to locate, and we can pretty much figure it out for ourselves. Because if I've learned anything in this whole process, this is not rocket science.
But at the same time, it requires some real commitment and sometimes a good mentor. Amanda has been a fabulous mentor for us on a lot of this research work on the internet. And we have some other really excellent people in the state like Kay Beach and like on our own board, Janine Wooster, who are really, really good at this as well.
You know, we really owe a lot to Amanda for she's such an inspiration to the rest of us on being a better activist. And I remember when we first came into the movement, I told her, "Hey, thanks for waiting for us."
We do often feel that way. Like the guys have been out there on recon doing their best, holding the positions as best they can, and we need to now provide them the foot soldiers to strengthen the army, as it
That's
were.
That's right. Another one of our committees is healthcare. You know that Oklahoma last year overwhelmingly voted against what was the mandate for Obamacare. Many Oklahomans believe that when they voted for that they were actually voting for no Obamacare whatsoever. However, they've been working behind the scenes. When I say they, the federal government and the states have been working behind the scenes to lay the groundwork for Obamacare to be brought into the states. And they're doing that through the
The health information exchange
exactly.
And then the health insurance exchanges.
Right. And thank you for saving me there. And so what we did this year was we were able to get one bill killed before it even made it to the Senate. Or it went to the Senate, got voted on in the House, got it killed in the Senate. We got another bill killed in committee. And then the final bill that they tried to bring through, they were going to try and bring through, we got it killed before it ever even left the dock. So, but what they've decided they're going to do is have a go ahead.
I was just going to call them study committees or interim committees where they agree to sit down with all the stakeholders, that's the word they love to use for this stuff, and decide what the state really should do regarding Obamacare. And that's an easy one for me to answer, and I think for a lot of other folks, too. They should
just
do
say
nothing.
No.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Say no.
Just say no. If you don't build it, they can't come.
That's exactly right. So we have a couple of people that are working on that, doing research, finding where we've already received monies for certain things.
It's astonishing the millions of dollars that have already been accepted and spent, invested, or squirreled away in the state of Oklahoma for the implementation of Obamacare. This is not something we're still fighting. This is something we have to roll back now.
That's right. And so if you're not from Oklahoma, if you're from another state, I can guarantee you if it's going on here, it's going on in your state.
And it may even be worse in your state.
That's
right. So pay attention, learn what's going on, and then if you, as we, share a real concern about this, start getting active and force those that are in charge of these activities in your state to rethink it, roll it back, and take a totally fresh look at this whole process.
That's right. Hold your elected officials accountable. We also have fundraising and events, which, of course, just speaks for itself. And then boondoggleblog.com. Once again, Don Wyatt is the chairman of that committee, and he created this so that we would have an outlet to be able to share the information that we find, as well as write some of our concerns. So it's a reporting, and it can also be an opinion blog.
Well, and it also serves as an information reservoir for us activists, because we've posted in there an awful lot of information about how to get a hold of people in the city council, how to get a hold of people at the county, where the county meetings are, and that sort of thing. So it serves several purposes, but you're right. Its primary mission is to serve as our weapon on these issues that are critical.
Another committee we have is elections, and I am the chairman of that. We believe that we have to get involved at the local level, and we currently have a city council election in Tulsa that all 9 positions became available or are up for either re-election or are open because the incumbent chose not to run.
This is a historic opportunity where the entire city council will either stand for election or in some cases it's open election because the existing holders of those offices have decided not to run again. And in some cases the incumbents are running again. But in any case, it's an opportunity to replace all nine of those, or at least some group of them that will change the direction of the city council for several years to come.
And our battle seems to be with the Chamber of Commerce.
It seems to be that way. The Chamber of Commerce decided, they noticed this opportunity as well, so they've hired a full-time political operative
recruiter,
go recruit candidates and probably fund them, although I haven't come up with the proof of that yet, but it's reasonable to assume. And we also know that there's a group here in the state that is famous for finding, recruiting, running dirty campaigns when necessary, and that's ANH Strategies. And they have a group of horses in these races as well.
That's right. So we've got a battle on our hands, but I think that we can do a lot of good to get some good people, at least get some solid conservatives on the city council. We have a committee for Agenda 21.
Agenda 21 is, I'm not on that committee, but let me throw a couple of 2 cents worth in there. I think that anytime we hear the word sustainable or sustainability or sustained, we need to start pricking up our antenna.
That's
and
right.
We need to start understanding that those are bad words. Remember when we made the word liberal kind of a bad word and we made the word progressive a bit of a bad word? That's a word that really needs to be elevated on the radar screen for everybody, because the concept here is that these geniuses at the UN will impose on the entire globe a whole new set of zoning and living and social and cultural guidelines that will have the effect of packing all of the population of the United States into about 2% of the space that we now occupy, and making the remaining 98% of that space uninhabitable and inaccessible to those humans. They're really trying to eliminate humans from the planet.
How convenient.
And in Tulsa, much to our surprise or astonishment, that Agenda 21 has already been adopted and embraced, and a lot of funding has been accepted for it. And in Tulsa, it's called Planet Tulsa. Wherever you live, I bet there are similar kinds of moves already underway there. There's a group called ICLEI,
I-C-L-E-I. Is the acronym.
That's the acronym for municipalities to join up with this global movement and in the effort to make us all live like they do in, Eastern Slobovia or someplace.
Well, we're gonna work to expose it and bring it about. And sustainability, like Don says, when you hear that word, it should just make the hair on the back of your neck stand up.
Exactly.
Because it's not a positive word.
It should be, but it isn't.
Right.
They've used a very good word. The idea of sustainability seems like it ought to make a lot of sense. But then you have to peel back the layers of the onion, and the more layers that come back, the worse it smells.
Yep, that's right. And then our last committee right now is the Legislative Task Force. When our legislature is in session, which is the first week from the first Monday in February to the last Friday in May, we have a group of people that make it a point to drive over to our Capitol, which is an hour and a half away, and we go and talk to our legislators and let them know what bills we're for and we're against and why we are. And sometimes we have to educate them. Last year, that's how we were able to stop the bills that had to do with the health insurance exchanges. We've made great strides this year. I think next year we'll do even better, but it's a positive thing to stay involved with what your legislature's got going on, because oftentimes they have so many bills that they don't have an opportunity to really read something, and so it's up to you sometimes to educate them on exactly what these bills are all about.
That's exactly right. If I could interrupt for just a couple of seconds, a second or two of brevity, levity is the word I wanted. Circulating around the internet right now is a thing attributed to Donald Trump. I don't guarantee you that he really said this, but he might have. It sounds like him to me. I'm going to share it with you about his explanation of Obamacare. The article says, let me get this straight. We're going to be gifted with a health care plan we are forced to purchase and fined if we don't, which purportedly covers at least 10 million more people without adding a single new doctor, but provides for 16,000 new IRS agents written by a committee whose chairman says he doesn't understand it, passed by a Congress that didn't read it but exempted themselves from it, and signed by a president who smokes, with funding administered by a Treasury chief who didn't pay his taxes, for which we'll be taxed for 4 years before any benefits take effect, by a government which has already bankrupted Social Security and Medicare, all to be overseen by a Surgeon General who is obese and financed by a country that's broke. What could possibly go wrong?
What? I have no idea. Sounds like the perfect plan for me.
Yeah.
Just like the debt crisis we're in right now.
There you are, exactly.
So, I think you wanted me to talk, too, a little bit about some of the events that we've got
Absolutely.
Coming up.
Especially, yes.
We always have, we have a meeting once a month that on the second Thursday of every month. We have a guest speaker that comes in, and we have pretty good attendance on that. And then on the fourth Friday of every month, we also have a what we call the Tulsa 912 Breakfast Club, where we meet and we have a guest speaker there. For those of you that are in Tulsa, that's at IHOP at 71st and Garnett at 7:30 in the morning. And this month, it'll be next week on July 22nd. Matt Pinnell, our Oklahoma State chair for the GOP, will be there speaking. On July 28th, which is a Thursday, we've got campaign manager training with American Majority. If you're not taking advantage of American Majority and all of the resources that they offer for activists, you're really missing something. And you can find them at AmericanMajority.org. And then next month in August, we've got a really busy month. On Tuesday, August 23rd, Act for America has been having an online petition to reinstate Captain Fields. Captain Fields was reprimanded for not telling he's a captain on the police force. He didn't make his officers attend, or he didn't tell
participate
in an Islamic police appreciation day, so to speak.
It was described as a kind of an evangelistic effort of some sort, Islamic based.
Right. They wanted to say thank you, but the thing was, it was a forced. They were being made to go, and when Captain Fields didn't make his guys go, he was reprimanded, and he was given 2 weeks off without pay. He was demoted. And it was placed on his record, and he cannot receive a promotion for at least a year. So the petition that they have is at actforamerica.org. You can sign it. And it says that we therefore call on the Tulsa Police Department to immediately reinstate Captain Fields, restore his rank, restore his pay, and remove any note of this incident from his record. Please go there and sign it, because on August 23rd, Brigitte Gabriel with Act for America will be here in Tulsa. We're going to have a rally at the A.H. Chapman Park down at 6th and Main at 10 o'clock in the morning. And then from there, we're going to walk to City Hall and deliver the petitions, which as of Thursday, they had almost 48,000 signed petitions. And we're going to deliver those to the mayor. And then on the Wednesday, we're doing Tulsa 912 Restoring Courage Stand with Israel event. We're going to be at Evangelistic Temple Church at 55th and Peoria. We will be showing the viewing of the events of Glenn Beck in Israel and all of the people that are participating with him.
Is that going to be on simulcast, or is that going to be recorded?
It'll be recorded, okay. Because it will have happened earlier in the day, but it'll be available to us to show on the big screen. That's at 7 o'clock in the evening. And then the following Friday will be, once again, the Tulsa Breakfast Club. You can find our events at Tulsa912Project.com. If you have any questions, all of our email addresses are out there. We've got a number of different things. If you want to participate or if you have any questions,
We got a couple minutes later left, I think. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about the meeting we just had on Thursday with retired Lieutenant Colonel Steve Russell?
Steve Russell, we knew him first as That's Senator right. Steve Russell. He's an Oklahoma legislator here in Oklahoma. When we would go up to the Capitol, he was always very gracious in allowing us to come into his office. He'd make time for us, and he had all this memorabilia around, and we started asking questions. Well, come to find out, he was part of the team that hunted down, and actually he led the team that hunted down and captured Saddam Hussein in Iraq.
That's right.
And he wrote the book.
He's got a book now called We Got Him, or We Got Him. He didn't. He spelled right. it out correctly. And that's now going to be picked up by Simon Schuster. And who knows, maybe someday it'll be made into a movie. But you got to read the book. It's an excellent study of understanding what modern warfare is like, what the challenge with the Islamic terrorist is all about, and understand what an outstanding job our military is doing yes. on our behalf there in that conflict.
You know, I said that he served our country honorably. He's serving the state of Oklahoma just as honorably. He's a phenomenal legislator.
He really is. Buy his book and read it. You won't be able to put it down. My name is Don Wyatt. Thank you for joining us on America in the Balance, Truth and Focus Internet Radio. Rhonda, thank you for being here and for all that you do.
I appreciate it. We'll be right back.